The scripture says, not to test the Lord. We know that we are not to test God. However, in reality, people always test God, do they not? Here's one example. One day, an atheist professor in college mocked the faith of Christians, especially in the existence of God, before the entire class. He said, "All right, I don't believe in God. However, if there is one, then I am going to give him a chance to prove his existence by knocking me down with thunder and lightning in 5 seconds. If he doesn't do it, then it means there is no God." Let me tell you, the professor surely put God to the test. Now, in Jesus' time, the religious leaders did the same. And they often tested Jesus by demanding signs from heaven. Despite the fact that Jesus had already given them numerous wonders and signs, healings and casting out demons and raising the dead, those things that no one has ever done before. Even when Jesus was hanging at the cross, they still demanded him to come down from this cross so that they would see and believe in him. Now, in today's story, we see another case of testing Jesus. This time, they tested him with tax questions. Whether it is right or wrong to pay a poll tax, head tax, every adult had to pay to the Romans. Now, those people who brought this question pretended to be sincere. Yet Jesus already knew what was in their hearts. Deceit and evil and even hypocrisy. Outside, they looked genuine. They looked like they wanted to clarify the question of paying taxes to the Roman Empire, the occupying forces, and the enemy of Israel. Inside, however, they really wanted to trap Jesus in his own words, so that they accuse him later. If Jesus answered to the question, should he pay taxes to Caesar? If he said yes, and they would accuse him, you are a traitor to Israel. If Jesus said no, don't pay taxes, then they would accuse him as the rebel against Caesar. So there is no win situation here. Now, besides those deceitful characters in today's story, in my best knowledge, I do not know anyone who would willfully or frivolously test the Lord. Do you? Now, think of yourself. You would not test the Lord either, right? Most of us wouldn't even think of such a possibility, especially when things are going rather well. It seems, however, once in a while, that kind of thing, testing of the Lord, could happen. Oftentimes, in stressful or confusing situations. Let's say you are at the end of your own wits and no place to turn to, and you turn to God and ask for some signs. Been there and done that. In those moments, however, we must be very careful not to fall into the trap of testing God, of his will and his power and his wisdom and even his existence. And that's what my sermon is going to be this morning, on the subject of testing the Lord. Now, this morning I'm going to explain to you three things. First of all, what's the reason behind why we are not to put the Lord to the test? Number two, why some acts of seeking God's signs are not considered testing of God. And finally, I'll explain to you what really constitutes the real testing of the Lord, putting the Lord to the test. The first question, why are we not to put God to the test? Simply because God commands us not to, in Deuteronomy 6:16, which says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." I looked further into the scripture. What happens when we put the Lord to the test? Two things happen to the Lord. Number one is that It provokes God to anger, Psalm 78:21. It also pains, the scripture says, the Holy One of Israel. So when we put the Lord to the test, two things happen. It provokes God to anger and it pains him. Good enough. That's the reason why we should never put the Lord to the test. The second question is this. Is every act of asking for God's sign considered putting the Lord to the test? The answer is no. It all depends on your motive as well as attitude. If you read the scriptures, you will see God's people from time to time asked for God's signs, and God granted them their wishes. Here's one example. How many of you heard of the name Gideon? Gideon, the mighty warrior in the times of Judges, before they had a king. So one time God appeared to Gideon and said, Gideon, I want you to lead the army of Israel to fight against their enemies. Now before Gideon led the army, however, he asked the Lord twice to give him a sure sign that indeed it is God who has chosen him for the task. Now in the scripture it is known as the fleece test, F-L-E-E-C-E, you know, wool fleece. By the way, his request was granted as exactly as he had asked for twice. And I'm going to read Judges chapter 6, verses 36 to 40, so that you may know what's going on. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I'll place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there's dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, and then I'll know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. And that's exactly what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with a fleece. But this time, make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew. That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry and all the ground was covered with dew. I don't know about you, when I was reading this story, first time I thought, wow, this guy's surely testing the Lord with the fleece. Make it wet and then make it dry on the following day. You see? But the interesting thing is that God allowed them and actually, you know, granted his wishes. On rare occasions, God even encouraged his people to ask for a sign from him. Now that happened around 700 before Christ was born in the little tiny kingdom called Judah, okay? Where the prophet Isaiah was actively serving as a prophet. Now there was, at the time, the name of the king was Ahaz, A-H-A-Z. And he was following the Lord faithfully. However, because of the size of the kingdom, so tiny, sandwiched between two powerhouses, one in the north and one in the south. So the Ahaz constantly worried about the future of his king, national security. So to assure the king that God will protect the kingdom, God one day sent his prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah urged the king Ahaz to ask for a sign from God, so that he would know God would protect Judah, Judean kingdom, from the invasion of the two neighboring kingdoms. King Ahaz refused, saying, no, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. So he never asked for any sign from God. Why? Because he didn't want to violate Deuteronomy 6:16, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. The surprising thing is this. God encouraged King Ahaz to seek a sign from him. You see? And here's another occasion. Let me tell you. God actively encourages his people to test him. You didn't know. I chose these words very carefully, and I mean every single word of it, because that's exactly what I see in the Bible. He actively encourages his people to test him in case of tithing. Only once in the Bible. He says, test me. Listen to Malachi. Well, you know all the tithing. Give 10% of income to the Lord. And Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. This is what the Lord says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. You see? So not every asking for God's sign is considered, you know, the putting the Lord to the test. So the real question is this, how and when? Sometimes it is okay to seek God's signs, even with God's encouragement. And when other times is absolutely no. How do you tell? Am I going to give you the answer? The answer is found in Gideon's story. Gideon never doubted God's existence. He never questioned God's power when he raised those questions. In other words, that's not the reason why he asked for signs from God. All he wanted to know was whether, you know, God indeed called him, whether he heard God correctly. He wanted to make sure that he was not dreaming or making up God's will for Israel by himself. Furthermore, he was very sincere. His only desire through the signs was to find out exactly what God wanted him to do, nothing else. Now, based upon this observation, I can safely say that as long as we are sincere in our search for God's will, and as long as we are totally willing to obey God's will once we've discovered it, and then God seems to permit us to ask for signs and does not hold it against us. Please take my personal example. You know, I was in high school in the early 1970s. And at the time, I had to make a decision rather quickly, which college that I should apply to. My guidance counselor at school says, Gayun, you go to college B. And my mom says, my son goes to college A. Well, college A happens to be better college than college B, as you could tell. And I was caught in the middle of this, you know, my mom wouldn't give up and neither did my guidance counselor. So I was caught in the middle of this thing. So I was, you know, said, Lord, just tell me which college I should apply to. Just let me know. So I still remember it was the night, in the New Year's night. I was sitting in the prayer room for about 2 hours, around 10 o'clock at night, beginning. And I told God, Lord, I need to know. I actually need to hear your voice with my ears. Tell me audibly that, what do you want me to do? Which college should I go to? Would you believe that I even gave God an ultimatum? Seriously. I said, 2 hours. I'm going to give you 2 hours to answer my prayer. I said, let me hear your voice with my own ears in the next 2 hours. If you don't speak to me, and I said, I will quit. I said, what's the good of it if God doesn't listen? I cannot hear your will, okay? Now, I don't know how many of you know that someone who gave God ultimatum. Some of you may have done it like I did. But for the next few years, I was embarrassed at my silly request. Oh, by the way, did God speak to me audibly that I could hear? No. But he spoke to me in a different way that I understand what God wanted me to do. Anyway, for years I was embarrassed at my silly request with ultimatum to God. And I was afraid that I had put the Lord to the test that night. And finally I realized after studying the scripture that it was not the act of testing. I was childish for sure. However, I made that request out of sincere desperation, wanting to know God's will. And thank God that he gives us some room from time to time. Anyway, that's it. So, you know, not every act of, you know, asking for God's sign is, you know, the putting the Lord to the test. I'm going to devote the rest of my sermon time on what really constitutes then the testing of the Lord. Now, Scripture identifies three elements of testing the Lord. These are the real red flags that we should beware of. If we ever find ourselves asking for God's signs, we may never do the following. Number one, unbelief of God's wisdom, power, and goodwill and His existence. Let me repeat. Unbelief of God's wisdom and power and goodwill and His existence. Now, if we doubt and question all the above that I mentioned and conclude that human counterparts and our own understanding are better than those of God's, then we are putting God to the test with our unbelief. And I'm going to give you an example. You know, Moses, we all know that, led the people of Israel out of Egypt. We call that event Exodus, right? So for the next 40 years, Moses led people all through the wilderness before the next generation, their sons and daughters, entered the promised land. So the Bible calls this generation, you know, wandered around in the wilderness generation. And the Bible concludes about the wilderness generation as this. They habitually grumbled and quarreled against Moses, the leader, about the lack of drinking water and meat. Yeah, in a sense, we understand that. You know, how hard, tough it is going around the wilderness without drinking water and just, you know, meat and all kinds of things. So you understand. The Bible also concludes that they, the wilderness generation, tested the Lord 10 times. 10 times they tested. Here's a couple of examples. How did they test the Lord, put the Lord to the test? Number one example. Isn't it Egypt better than the promised land? Isn't Egypt better than promised land? So what was Egypt? Egypt was a land of slavery, and they defiantly saying to everybody, including to Moses, the land of slavery is far better than the land of freedom. Inside a question, you could tell they're questioning God's wisdom and God's will. And that's putting the Lord to the test. Here's another example. They used to say to Moses and God, can God spread a table in the desert? Can he provide food and meat? Inside a question, you see they're questioning God's power. Can he do it? Can he do it? You see? And that is the definite sign of putting the Lord to the test, unbelief. Now, second sign is demanding our own wanton cravings. Listen to Psalm 106, verse 14. Once again, this is about the desert, the wilderness generation. It says, in the desert, they, wilderness generation, gave in to their craving. In the wasteland, they put God to the test. Now, if you ever read the Old Testament, which I highly recommend, I want you to pay attention the way it is set up. The Hebrew people always use the literary technique. They say one thing, but they repeat in two different ways. Now, listen one more time, Psalm 106, 14. In the desert, they gave into their craving. In the wasteland, they put God to the test. In other words, they're saying that they put God to the test, but in two different ways. However, they say they gave in to their craving. Now, Psalm 78, verses 18 through 20, puts this way. Once again, the same generation, in their heart, they put God to the test by asking food according to their desire. And then they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can he give bread also? Will he provide meat for his people? You see, even though they never lacked their food, which happened to be the manna, they craved the foods that they were used to in the land of Egypt. The scripture concludes they willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. So folks, in our own 21st century life in America, it doesn't have to be food alone. Any wanton cravings that we have could be lusts and desires and money or whatever status, whatever. We need to be very careful. We better not demand our wanton cravings, and because you may fall into the category of putting the Lord to the test. I believe contentment with what you have and gratitude for what you have will help us here. That is the second, you know, flag. And the third flag, it is in the Bible called rebellion. Rebellion against the Lord. Now the word rebellion in the Bible is far more evil than the occasional defiance, occasional disobedience, or run away from God. Rebellion is ingrained in one's character and it persistently shows up in one's attitude and choices. It sure tests God's goodness and mercy. Once again, the wilderness generation, the Bible says, willfully made a choice not to obey God's word and therefore put God to the test. Psalm 78:56 says this, but they put God to the test and rebelled against the Most High. They did not keep His statutes. The problem they had was they made a choice in their hearts. We are not gonna listen to or keep God's word. That's considered rebellion. You know what? I think no matter what we do repeatedly, we become better at. Whether it's good thing, we better at. A bad thing, we become better at it. So therefore, I think we need to practice making right choices every moment to obey the Lord so that we may not fall into this rebellion. Don't assume that you're going to be a saint overnight. Don't assume that you're going to be the devil, in other words, overnight. It depends on, it begins with one single, choice that you make. And then you either get better at it, So let's make sure that we make the right choices. Now, that's it. For a closing, I would say this. Never, ever put the Lord to the test. We don't want to do it. And occasionally, when God allows us to see God's signs from Him, let's make sure that not question in His will and power and wisdom and in His existence, no matter how hard our circumstances are. Now, let's also remember the lessons from the wilderness generation. Three red flags of testing the Lord: unbelief, wanton cravings, and rebellion. Choose to obey God daily. Let's bow our heads and pray. I'm guilty, but Lord, sometimes, from time to time, when I'm so desperate, ask God, just show me, Lord, your glory. Show me your power. But you don't necessarily go with my desire. You rather lead me into the directions where I realize, oh, Lord, this is how you reveal yourself, your will. So Lord, for that we are very grateful. And it's clearly God's command for us not to put you to the test, except a couple of things, such as tithing, and in occasions where you encourage us to seek a sign. But besides that, help us never ever put you to the test. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.